Hey folks, you're listening to Scribbles and Spills, the podcast where creatives of all kinds expound on their art and spill their secrets. I'm your host, C.E. Hoffman, an author, screenwriter, poet, and publisher. You can find my books at cehoffman.net and follow me on Twitter at cehoffman2. We've been gone for a while, and I'm super excited to relaunch this podcast with a really, really special guest. And we're also going to be changing our release schedule. So remember to follow us at Scrib Spill Pod on Twitter for updates. Jude Clausen is a Toronto-based writer, director, singer-songwriter, and actor known for her unique urban feature films that blend music, comedy, family, and living in the end times. Inspired by her LGBTQ plus teenager to create her second feature, Stupid for You, Clausen co-stars with her real-life offspring as the washed-up 90s punk singer Danny Destroyer, whose love-sick teen needs to reunite their mom's toxic band in order to win the heart of the art school it girl. Clausen's first feature, Love in the Sixth, is also an indie musical inspired by her real life, struggling in the sixth extinction. Check out her movies and more at judeclausenfilmmaker.com, and that's KLASSEN, and find her on Twitter at JudeCast. Jude, thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to have you on the show.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here, CE. I love that opening. That was spot on. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I don't think I've blown the dust off this podcast for almost a year now, so thanks for helping me reinvigorate it. And this is just awesome. Like, I have to tell you, Stupid for You was a game changer for me.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Okay, and I'm not just saying
So
that.
Did it turn you on to musicals or
I mean, I've
anything?
been blessed with a wonderful musical upbringing,
Oh,
but
nice.
so it was so nice to see again that art form, taken forward, into the new millennia, basically. That was super exciting. But the writing was so exceptionally touching for me. Like, I watched it a while ago. I think it is coming on to like almost a year or at least 6 months since I watched it. And
Right.
scenes still pop up in my head.
Oh, amazing. Oh, that is heartening to hear. Thank you.
So I just think that really speaks, to your combined capabilities, the acting, the writing, the directing. And obviously I want to get into, what inspired you to create this feature, but I'd like to talk about that first. What is it
Sure.
like to have that many power centers necessary for creating a film and you're putting your power into all of those areas? What does that feel like for you? Like on set, what is that like for you?
On set, it definitely is more challenging to shoot the scenes that I am acting in, especially ones that involve false eyelashes and crying. But it's kind of what I've always done, is multiple hats. I think a lot of artists are the same. I used to do improv comedy, and I would storyboard the shows, and I'd play the main character, and I got involved in music, and so it's sort of this comedy music hot mess. But I mean, I'm really comfortable. I get a lot of energy from acting, and definitely from performing and writing songs. And shooting a regular film, I mean, is amazing, but when you're shooting a musical and you've got the crew humming along to the songs afterward, and there's a certain energy that it creates, and it's just kind of a happy set. That's been my experience anyway. And it's very indie, of course, so it's not as I don't know. There's not, millions of dollars at stake. There's thousands of dollars at stake.
Well, Wow, that sounds so amazing. It sounds like you really cultivate an amazing culture for everyone on set too. And it sounds like musicals are kind of the perfect convergence of all of your interests and talents. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's very accurate. Absolutely. Yeah. I get to do everything I love and work with people, like very talented people, and so many of them. I mean, everyone who contributed to the film, from my producers, the Butler brothers, are just like super creative filmmakers themselves. And they were really on board with my vision. And it's also, of course, it's everyone's vision at the end of the day. Our set designer was just like amazing. Like what she did, Allie Thompson, what she did with the amount of money she had, and she was like costumes and set and everything. And she just turned these spaces into like she turned the super grotty Legion into this beautiful, prom, where the prom was shot. Like it looked so gorgeous by the time she was finished, and our cinematographer was amazing, and the actors were great. Yeah, I feel like I need to give shout outs to everyone. But filmmaking is such a collaborative art form. I mean, I really enjoy just writing, just the script writing process. Possibly my favorite part. But when you have all of these people bringing their talents, and like Asher Ettinger and TC Folk Punk, or sorry, Tim Cameron, my co-composers, those guys are such professional musicians. And I was so blessed to be able to write songs with people who really know what they're doing. Yeah.
Well, and you have an amazing voice as well. You know,
Well,
that I
thank
noticed.
you.
Of course, I noticed that even just with Love in the Six, but I think it was
Oh,
definitely
thank
like
you.
at, in a peak, performance for this film. And that's what excited me so much about this film too, is I loved Love in the Six. It was so raw, it was so real, it was punk AF. And then I feel like this just like it was like the same spirit, but you just upped the ante with everything, with production, with writing. And I'm hearing that, you're saying that that was such a an amazing group collaboration. So it really went off splendidly, I think.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so cool that you watched both films and that you're into them. It makes me very happy. Thank you.
And of course, you said that this was definitely a major collaboration, which of course makes sense with film. And I'd love to talk about the inspiration for the film. Just how much and how did your kiddo inspire you to create this?
Oh yeah, so my kiddo inspires me every day. Like he's so talented and funny. So when I was writing the film, Mikhail would come home from school and he had this debilitating crush on this non-binary art school it person. And he just I mean, he's such a smart smarty, like such a witty, funny, smart guy, and he would just say the stupidest things to them, and he would come home absolutely crushed, and it's like, oh my God, I stepped off the subway, and they were standing there, and I said, oh, did you take the subway? And I'm like, oh. And I of course had stories from my youth or last week where I said something equally embarrassing, and then I started to work it in as the B story to the film. Initially it was Danny's story and it was quite different, and then when I shared the scenes with my producers, we were just like, you know what? This is a story. This the queer teenage love triangle. That should be the A story, and so that's how that was the jumping off point for it.
I thought that was such an important and complicated element of the narrative too, that you have these two stories, just as is the case with mothers and their children, and sometimes the mother still has the spotlight, because we're all still growing and evolving, but at the same time, sometimes there's that, and there's that beautiful metaphor in the film of like you have to pass on the stage to your kid as
Yeah.
well. Like by the end of the film, do you think It seems like Dani was in a really good place with that. Like she'd really made peace with kind of passing on the mic. Like, how difficult do you
Yeah.
think that is for mothers in general to pass on the mic to their kids?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm sure it's different depending on the mother or the parent in general. With me, it's not so hard. Like in real life, I'm happy to throw the spotlight on to Mikhail. Whether he wants it or not is another question. Sometimes we have these ambitions for our kids. But yeah, in the film, I definitely saw Dani as, I mean, I think she's a lot more. Am I allowed to swear? I can't remember.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
I think Dani's a lot more fucked up than I like to think I am. And the whole idea of her, I mean, it is true that I used to have a very big life and I used to, write for television and make good money. And, at some point, I threw all my energy into romantic relationships. And then I would find myself, dropping all of the balls I had in the air would fall to the ground. And I really wanted to, that hasn't happened for years, but I really wanted to capture that where a woman could be like on have this hit song, be on stage, have all these fans, be really kicking it, and have one naysayer, her boyfriend, who's also her musical partner, telling her she sucks, and she finally believes him. Or believes him enough to, quit doing music altogether. And, she works at a computer shop, which I do in real life, but it's just because, you have to have a side hustle or you'll just be a hired gun, with other people's visions. So if you want to make your own art, as I'm sure you have to have these other jobs. And I get a lot of inspiration from my tech world as well. Did I go off course there?
I mean, but you touched on so much truth, in all of that. I love that so much. Like, especially mentioning, this toxic relationship and it being almost a pattern, too, in Danny's life. And for me, again, it was one of the elements of the film that was just so beautiful and honest and relatable. I think it's so relatable for so many people, especially creative people. And I think for sure a lot of femmes, that we have these amazing visions and this amazing power to create and make beautiful things, but we tend to kind of let ourselves get derailed and we tend to still give our power away. And for me, it was so heartening that, like Dani's fine and she's rocking it and she's doing it on her own, but that she does wind up with this like supremely awesome guy.
Oh, good. I'm glad you like that because I had to be talked into that happy ending. I always want, no, she should be alone at the end. Like she is in Love in the Six. And Brett and Jay were just like, come on, dude. Like, let Danny be happy, have a positive relationship. I'm like, I don't know. It seems like a sellout. But you're not alone in enjoying that and enjoying Magnus. The love interest. I mean, he was such a contrast to the Sid character. He only had that one where he had that jealous moment. I won't give that away. In case someone listening, watches the film, that's the big twist. I won't give away the big twist. sorry, did I derail the conversation again?
Not
I very go all over
No, not remotely. Like the thing that I
place.
always try to do as host is try to just give everyone space to, explore their awesomeness, which you are definitely doing. And I will say to everyone listening, if you haven't watched it, watch it. And again, I'm not just saying that. This is like a superb piece of filmmaking, and everyone listening at the very least should watch it once, but probably you should watch it twice because it's one of those movies where there's lots of layers to it and it's just
Thank
so sharp
you.
and so beautiful. I mean, I guess we should of course like explore, this art form, that you usually tend to create in from what I've seen. It's a musical. And it's a modern musical. And I know we said that that's a major convergence of your talents and your interests, but what is it about musicals that you keep coming back to?
I think for me, like when we initially started filming Love in the Six, it was very spontaneous. And I mean, I had a script of sorts, and we basically tossed it, and just the story evolved very organically. And Asher asked if I wanted, he's like, "Hey, do you want to write a song for this thing we're shooting tonight?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's a great idea." And so we wrote Mancation, which was at the end of Love in the Six, and it's a pretty cool song. Then we started coming up with other songs like Fucking Love, and I was like, okay, I guess we're shooting a musical. So I used to call it the accidental musical. And so after shooting Love in the Six, and we premiered at Whistler, and Paul Gratton, the Whistler head of the Whistler Film Festival, he just loved the music. I mean, that's how we got into the festival. He's like, "Oh my God, the music is amazing. I'm listening to the CD in my car." And so we decided, let's make another film, and let's make it about musicians, and make another musical. So I think for my third film, which I have written another script that I don't think it will be it. It's not a musical, but I have another idea, and I've just started to write the songs for it, because I feel like, music really gets you into emotionally to that place. If I hear a song it's so triggering for what I was doing in that time, in that moment, how I felt. It brings it all back, and writing music is really satisfying. I do it because I like to do it. I'm not really thinking, I'm not very calculating about, "Oh, would this be more saleable? Would I get more hits?" It's just kind of, this is what I like to do. So I'm just gonna, please myself, and hopefully some people out there will connect.
Oh man, that is just so amazing. I definitely think, pleasing oneself is a major act of rebellion, especially as a femme creator. We so often are trying to shape our art, like you say, to in a way that's palatable, or marketable. And I am just so like delighted, unsurprised, but delighted to hear that you're like, actually, fuck it. I'm just doing this because it's what I love. Like, oh my gosh, like yeah, I have to tell you again, and I'm so sorry if I'm just fanpersoning all over the place, but it's true.
Oh,
Like,
please, please, fan person.
like you are
I'm soaking it up.
good because you should. I'm so excited to like have the chance to tell you this. Like, you have inspired me so much.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you, CE.
I was telling my one my bestie basically, like I was ranting and raving about you, and I was like, Jude Clausen is like who I want to be, like my version of that, like they're so aspirational for me, and I'm serious, like that is
Well,
definitely.
you're a pretty cool, accomplished person yourself. Yeah, I mean, you're doing a lot that I have not accomplished. So, hey, I aspire to be you as well.
Mutual admiration society.
Yeah, absolutely.
What? Oh, that's so wonderful. And yeah, for me too, I love musicals. Again, like I said, I was, grown up on musicals. They are my main jam too. Like, I don't think I've actually written many screenplays that are musicals, but I've technically like written a few plays that are and stuff. So I get the major draw and allure to it. I'm wondering, and again, I love that you don't consider this too much, and I love that. I think that's so real as an artist. But I often wonder too, how modern audiences contend with like the attention span required for musicals or the suspension of disbelief required for musicals. Have you bumped into that with modern audiences, or do you find that they're pretty open to it?
The audiences I've experienced are very into it. I mean, I realize there are people who just like knee-jerk do not like musicals, and they kind of lump them all into the same thing. Like, it's not Oklahoma anymore, guys. I think like modern musicals, they've evolved. They're mostly very unique and relevant, and I think audiences find them energizing. It's been happening for a long time, like Rocky Horror, the original Hairspray, Absolute Beginners. I mean, La La Land, well, not that recently, but more modern times. I mean, even Barbie, right? There's so many genres within this genre, and I'd say my films are more John Carney-esque. Like Sing Street, Begin Again, sort of. I mean, I know, well, Love in the Six, it sort of leaves reality a bit more than I think Stupid for You does, aside for the montage, the big bring back, which in Stupid for You, which is, definitely you're taken outside of reality quite a bit. But yeah, I think yeah, people's attention spans, that's an interesting, like, well, an example, one of our test audiences, there was a teenage girl whose comment was, "I love this film so much, I didn't even look at my phone." And it's like, oh my God, I love that. So I guess we are tapping into an attention span. I mean, I know my kid, well, my 21-year-old now, my young adult, loves musicals, certain musicals, and his best friend Mia, who plays Stevie in the film in Stupid for You. They were always just like besotted with musicals and singing along to them. And yeah, I think it's actually quite a popular genre now. But, I can't give you facts to support that, just my own personal experience. Yeah. Did
Oh,
that answer your question?
it did, and I'm so relieved, to hear that. Like I sometimes feel like I'm like a vestige of a dead or dying age with my love for musicals and print, and like I'm not into phones
Oh
and
no.
things like that. And yeah, it's really nice to hear that like you said, these things are reaching the younger generations as well, and that musicals will never die. I just love that. And again, thanks to
Yeah.
creators like you who are bringing it into, like you said, like a new kind of approach, and bringing it to newer audiences and all of that. I think that's important work that you're doing, like for the musical broadly.
Oh, thank you. That is lovely to hear.
The song that kept getting stuck in my head was Thin Skinned. It's kind of like at that, that drop point, like before the third act, the low point where they're in the tree and
Yes,
people are throwing apples at
exactly.
them, and everyone's in that low point, and I just loved that synchronicity with everyone. And like, how did that go? Like the composition of that song or the inspiration for that song?
Yeah, so that was a really interesting day. I wrote two songs with Asher Ettinger that day. And I, on my way over to his house, I stopped by my ex's, like the last person I was in love with, which, a long time ago. So basically when I made Love in the Six, the person that I kind of based that on, I stopped by to pick up this table that he had of mine, and he had like pretty serious concussion, and it was like speaking to someone who was no longer there, and I was just destroyed. And I was just like sitting in his house and looking around at everything, and all these memories were flooding me, and I was just like overcome with all sorts of emotion and fucked-upness. And I drove over to Asher's, and I'm just like, oh my God, give me a shot of vodka. And I started to write these lyrics, and the first song was Thin Skinned, and then the other one that ended up being a poem in the film, because the song had to be cut for length. But so Thin Skin just kind of, it happened very organically. We were just playing with the lyrics, and Asher started playing this that sort of very simple haunting melody, and I was singing the words thin skinned over and over again. And then the rest of the lyrics just kind of poured out of me. And we recorded that first version. We didn't change anything. And when we gave the different verses to the cast members, and made it to the point in the film where, as you were saying, all hope seems lost. And we added the, Ali's beautiful art direction and MJD's camera work. It just like, wow, it really happened. And yeah, that is like the first song I learned to play on the electric baritone uke. This very, very simple set of chords. So it's kind of my go-to if I'm feeling kind of emotional and I just need to sing a bit. It's a great one. It's great for harmonizing with people at parties and things. And yeah, maybe you've been singing along to it. I like to think you are.
Oh, 100%. And it's so magical that you told me that it was kind of just that main hook that kind of arrived to you guys by way of Muse, because that's the part that gets stuck in my head. Just that sentiment of I'm thin skinned. I think that just touches on not just where each character is at, but just on the human condition, especially for us, sensitive artistic types, and I mean, even releasing that as a music video or something, I don't know if you've done that or not, but like, I think that would
Haven't
just be
done that
so
yet,
lit.
but yeah, I would love to do that. I need to talk to my producers about that. Like, I'm not sure what the deal is with when you have distributor, like we have distributors in Canada and the US for Stupid For You. So I don't know what the rules are, but I definitely want to get the individual songs out there st as standalone pieces. And we're working on getting the tracks up on well, so Love in the Six is on Bandcamp, the soundtrack has been forever. But Stupid For You and Love in the Six, we're going to try to get them on the major streamers, but it seems to be a lot to it these days. Like, you have to get a distributor and you have to blah 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 blah. So, I like the indie thing. I just like to do shit. Like, I'm just gonna put this here. Like, going through hoops and bureaucracy is like, yeah. But they will be out there, and I will keep people aware of what's happening on Twitter, at my website, kind of thing. That's the plan, anyway.
See, I love that. I love that you're like, I'm just gonna do the fucking thing, I so respect that. And I definitely feel that way, like at least about my music as well. I get it that you're just like, I just want to hand this off to people, and give them something squishy to hold on to when they're feeling sad, like
Yeah, I want to do the fun part. I won't deny it. I don't like doing the hard stuff.
I mean, they make it too hard though too. Let's be real. Like those boundaries are placed, so it is harder
Oh,
for indie creators.
yeah.
Like it is kind of gatekeepy that way. And
Oh,
I love that you're
definitely.
I love that you're like knocking down the gates, jumping over the gates, or sometimes just saying fuck the gate. Again, that's just so inspiring. I
Thank
know we
you.
have to wrap this up soon-ish because I'm, a starving artist and I'm on the free Zoom. So I don't but I don't want to leave this without, again, you kind of touched on it a bit, but What are you most excited about for future projects? Because you saying that you had a new script, that got me like super hyped. I'd love to hear what you're planning next.
Oh, well, so the next musical I want to write, or that I've sort of lightly sketched in, is about it's called the Gentleman Criminal, and it's about a I used to live with a pot grower in the Kootenays, and he was, it's a big love of my life, I would say. And I want to tell that story because it is absolutely insane. But I would turn him into a musician, which he wasn't. But I have a lot of, like heartbreak songs I would love to write. And yeah, so that project is a big one. And the stories are just, I can't even really give you an example without it being a 15-minute conversation. So I'll just leave it at that.
Next time, because I definitely want you on the show again.
Oh, thank you. And I'm going to release my collection of short stories. That's my big goal for 2024, which I've been writing for decades. I mean, I had a Canada Council grant. Some of them were published, sort of about my crazy family, dysfunctional family, and it's called Toxic Shock and Other Family Gatherings. And I just want to get that off my hard drive and out in the world. And I promised Mikhail that I wouldn't like die and he'd have to publish it or something. So that's one of the things. The other is a thriller. But yes, I've been going on for too long. So lots in the hopper.
See, I just love that though. I'm so excited for the next film. I wish we'd had time to talk about the book because I'm super excited about the book too. But make
Oh,
sure
thank
to,
you.
share the links with me and everything, and I'll make sure that, anyone following me is also going to see it too. Because I, again, your writing is superb. It's what I love most about your film. So I'm really excited to
Oh,
see
thank
it on
you.
a page. I'm going to be really excited for that, like direct transference. You know what I mean? I think that'll be really, really cool.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you can be one of my readers
I would be
if you
honored.
like. Okay.
Yeah, are you kidding? That's so cool. Yeah, definitely. We'll talk. Email me about this.
Well,
I'm serious. That's
fantastic.
awesome. Oh,
Okay, I would love that.
this has just been so great. Again, thank you so much for your patience. I know the listeners don't necessarily know this, but we've been planning this and having to
Yeah.
reschedule it while I was getting my stuff together. So thanks
All
again.
good.
And again, just like thank you for all you do. Thank you for how you inspire people, because I'm sure I'm not the only creator you've inspired. So thank you for just doing
Oh.
what you do and what you love and reminding all of us to do that too.
Oh, thank you so much. You're amazing. And
No,
you're
you are.
inspiring people too. You're a very, very cool artist,
Oh,
cool
thank you.
person. And I really appreciate you throwing the spotlight on me today. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah, well deserved. Okay, so everyone, please remember to check out JudeClassenFilmmaker.com. That's KLASSEN. I assume y'all know how to spell Jude. And
Rude with
perfect, exactly.
a
Keep an eye out. I definitely go watch Stupid for You. Get ready and excited for Jude's upcoming projects, the book, the new movie, all of that stuff. Remember to follow us on Twitter at Scribsville Pod. Remember to follow her on Twitter at Jude Cast. And again, I'm sure we'll have you on the show again, hopefully maybe to discuss the book once it's out. I think that would be awesome.
Oh, that would be amazing. I would love that. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thanks so much. I'll see you again soon, okay?
Okay, CE, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.